Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you stayed with me because we got Grace Marie Turner back on the show. And in all of the universe, ladies and gentlemen, nobody is more familiar with healthcare public policy issues, the healthcare public policy debate, and options that makes sense for America. Nobody has more of that ammunition than Grace Marie Turner. She's the president of the Galen Institute, which is an organization that advocates on behalf of market reform solutions. And she's our good friend, Grace Marie Turner. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, Jim. So always a pleasure to be with you, but you flatter me way too much.
No. I know who people call. Some people call her, folks, and some people fear her because she's got her cornflakes together when it comes to understanding how healthcare works. Grace Marie, one of the things I said earlier in the hour that I know I'm a talk show host, and people sometimes think talk show hosts are prone to hyperbole, and I accept that. But I think what I'm about to say is not hyperbole. I think that this is this healthcare debate going on right now at this very moment in time is the most important, the most critical, the most potentially dangerous debate that we have had in America in generations, with an S. What do you think?
I agree with you. And I think it's not just because it's a health reform debate. This is a battle over freedom, and that's why I've been involved in this debate for the last 20 years, because if we lose our freedom over the ability to make decisions about something as vital as our health,
as personal,
our life and death decisions, and turn that over to government, we've lost it. We've lost our basic freedoms, and that's why this debate is so important. That's why people are turning out in town hall meetings around the country. They believe not only that it's decisions over their health care, but the huge expansion of government that they have seen moving forward over this year since the Obama administration came to Washington is frightening people. I have had an opportunity to speak at several town hall meetings. I'm just back from a 9-day speaking trip around the country. And the fear is palpable.
Well,
it is absolutely
contrary to what some people say, this is visceral reaction by the electorate. I'm not saying there isn't any organization involved. There isn't any, there aren't some political operatives out there egging this on or being part of the process, but most of this, I don't know what percentage, Grace Marie, you would know being out there more than I have been, this is visceral reaction by the rank-and-file American, isn't it?
It is, and it is outrageous that you have members of Congress calling the American people names, calling them un-American, calling them evil
mongers. Who has done that?
Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, the Majority Leader of the Senate, Harry Reid, are calling the American people names. And if they weren't already mad, boy, does that ever add another arrow to the quiver. I mean, I went in one of these town hall meetings. I was talking to this lovely, sweet lady that easily could have been your grandmother. And why did you come, and when did you get here? She got there at 1 o'clock for a town hall meeting that started at 4:30 in Lafayette, Louisiana, because she wanted to be heard. Hmm. And she said, here she is holding her little handbag. She says, I'm part of the angry mob. So they're ridiculing politicians. They're angry that they're being called names. There are people who are coming out. They're passionate. Nobody is organizing them. And they say it over and over and over in these town hall meetings. I'm here because I'm concerned. They want to do something. They're frustrated that the only thing that they can do is show up at a town hall meeting and hope that they're one of the people that gets called on. But I've never really, truly, in my 35 years of being involved in public policy, I've never seen anything like this.
Well, it began last fall in a Republican administration, Grace Marie. If you remember, when the TARP plan was proposed almost a year ago as a bailout, Americans got up on their hind legs and said, we don't want this. And consequently, some people who voted for it lost their job last November.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the American people have found their voice, Grace Marie. And I'll tell you, whether the people are agreeing with me or not, I am very happy about the fact that America has found its voice and its voice of dissent and attitude about the important issues of the day. And so I'm very happy about that. Go take a quick break, folks. Grace Marie Turner and I will be right back. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
Life is a gamble, all winners or losers.
We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll go there and check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog, which the most recent post is about this issue that Grace Marie Turner and I are talking about. And it's about the health care reform and my thoughts on that. And by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Grace Marie Turner is the president of the Galen Institute, the editor of Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. Grace Marie, we're talking about the way the progress of this debate has gone. And it's do you think that all of these people coming out, even regardless of whether they, you know, what the spin is about who these people are and what their motivations are, do you think that it's getting the attention of the proponents of the government run health care reform?
You know, I think you're right about your blog, Jim, that this is about winning and losing, because the evidence is really no, because the other side, the labor unions, the proponents of reform, are going to spend millions of dollars putting on 1,000 of their own events over the next several weeks in an effort to try to counteract what we've all seen on YouTube and C-SPAN for this whole month, all of the town hall meetings with people going to their members of Congress to tell them, don't even think about voting for this bill. They believe that the great majority of Americans, the other side believes that the great majority of Americans want this health reform fiasco, and they want to get all of their labor union people to show up and show support. But I am hoping that the same people who showed up at the town hall meetings will go to those events with their signs to say.
You say there are going to be 1,000 of these in the next couple of weeks?
1,000 of these events around the country. But they're all organized. You know, the thing about,
so wait a minute. Wait a minute. So, being organized against this reform is not good, but being organized in favor of it is okay.
Yeah, but people aren't organized. I mean, the people who are against
it. Talk about hypocrisy.
Yeah, the people who are just coming out, taking off time from work, bringing their babies with them, veterans showing up, senior citizens coming to these town hall meetings, waiting in line forever. I mean, this event in Lafayette, Louisiana, was held in a public library with a pretty big meeting room auditorium, filled to capacity, two overflow rooms filled to capacity. The fire marshal finally had to close the building because so many people showed up, and they still waited outside in a driving rainstorm and hoping to have a chance to talk to the senator.
Yeah.
These people are not organized by anybody other than their own passion for this country. They're patriotic. These events started with a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, for crying out loud.
Wow.
These are Americans.
The thing that's upsetting me right now, Grace Marie, as I point out in my blog post, is that every week there's a different variation on the theme that's being proposed that we might accept, that we might put through, as if the most important thing to happen this year is some kind of a bill. And folks, when it gets to that point, when it's all about getting a bill, then it's not about what's best for America, it's about what's best for politicians. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I think that we need to step away from this. We need to discontinue the process. That's the reason why, Grace Marie, for months now, I've been saying I don't want any reform bill. I don't want any legislation passed this year, because it's not based on what's going to be good for America. It's not, because all of the solutions that could be considered are not on the table. There are virtually no market solutions on the table being debated right now.
That's exactly right. I mean, all of this is really moving toward a much
portability
greater...
is not being debated right now, is it?
Well, only in the sense that the government is going to tell you where you can buy your health care, and it may not necessarily be through the employer, but that's not what we call portability or freedom.
Right. Did you hear the AARP person over the weekend,
John Roberts,
say that allowing people in New Jersey or New York or California to buy insurance from another state that might have lower rates, that was actually going to be a bad thing?
Yes, absolutely. That's John Rother, who's been with the AARP forever. Actually, the Wall Street Journal had an editorial about it yesterday, mm-hmm. as well. That they just talk about protecting the status quo. You know, they are terrified that the American people would have choices, that we might have real competition, that the people who are the big monopolistic players in this healthcare system now,
right,
are going to have genuine competition.
Grace Marie, identify for us what are some steps that should be being debated right now that are not.
Well, actually, I encourage people. We've got a petition on our on a special dedicated website we've created called DoNoHarmPetition.org. You do need the word petition in
right.
DoNoHarmPetition.org. And there we talk about not only the six things that you should be very frightened about the proposals before Congress,
mm-hmm.
but the three things that we should be doing. And it is giving people the same tax break, whether they get their health insurance at work
right.
or on their own.
In other words, don't just give the tax break to the employer, give it to the employee as well.
And let it be portable.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is give people more places to purchase health insurance than just through their employer.
Across state lines.
Different kinds of groups, across state lines, church groups, professional associations.
Right.
Even labor
small
unions.
Business owners.
Yes, absolutely. But across state lines, so you have bigger pools and people
right.
and it could escape all these state mandates. And then number three, we do need some more money to help the states create more functional higher-risk pools
right.
and new solutions for people with pre-existing
mm-hmm.
conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And there are good examples out there in the states that have done this, Idaho,
right.
for example.
Right.
Three things.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back, folks, after these messages. Grace Marie's going to talk a little bit more about some of these other solutions that are not being debated, folks, right after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's with the president of the Galen Institute, an organization that's devoted to shining the light on healthcare reform and offering solutions that are often not being debated. In fact, are not being debated right now. You were talking when we went to the break, Grace Marie, about making the tax advantages available to individuals, not just to employers, being able to aggregate buying power right for associations like small business owners and chambers of commerce, that kind of thing.
Well, and individuals to be able to buy into other kinds of
right.
groups, to church groups,
right.
so they get have a, other kinds of groups that
right.
their employer.
And this, folks, this is unleashing the power of the marketplace. And then the third one again, the state.
And the third one is a stronger safety net at the state level.
Yeah, yeah. Would that cover that third point? Would that cover some of the 40-something million people who are not covered right now?
All three of them. We need all three. We need equal subsidies, so everybody gets the same deal. so that you don't have to lose your health insurance when you lose or change jobs,
right.
So that small businesses don't have to be at a competitive disadvantage with big companies, that people know that they have other ways to get health insurance, and you don't have to just get it through your job.
Here's,
number one.
Here's what I believe more than anything I've ever believed in my life, Grace Marie. The current proposals by the government for health care reform are not as much about reforming health care and improving health care as it is about increasing control over our lives. I believe that with all my heart.
There is a really amazing quote from an economist named Paul Starr, who wrote a book called The Social Transformation of American Medicine, won a Pulitzer Prize. Little one line in there. He was an advisor to Hillary Clinton during the Clinton care battle.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians since Bismarck have been using insurance against the cost of sickness as a means of turning benevolence into political power.
Wow.
Says it.
Say that again.
Politicians since Bismarck have been using health insurance as a means of turning benevolence into political power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this is. It is about political power. That's why they are winners and losers. Frankly, that's why the labor unions are so engaged in this. They
what about
see this?
What about the health? What about the medical the health insurance companies? Are they have I noticed that they're in favor of this now?
Health insurance companies are in favor of parts of it, but they are very concerned about this new government-run insurance plan because they know it's going to put them out of business. But
why are they going over to that side?
80-20 rule. Everybody is saying, yes, absolutely, we want health reform. And they want 80% of what's in this bill. But there's 20% they cannot live with.
Yeah.
And it's a different 20% for everybody.
Well, exactly.
For the employers, it's the employer mandate. For the insurance companies, it's the public plan. For pharmaceutical companies and doctors, it's more price controls over their services.
Mm-hmm.
But they're fine with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's this been perception that, oh, yes, everybody's around the table, everybody's happy with reform, but all of them can't have some part of it, which in aggregate means all of it.
Right.
Their 20% is a different 20%.
Is there anything in this bill that could be watered down that
no.
you think would allow...
It's a totally different direction. It's all, this 1,000 pages of legislation is all about exerting more government control over decisions about health care. And it's not just state government. This is the federal government telling every one of us we have to buy health insurance, telling all employers you have to buy these policies or
yeah.
pay a new tax, telling us what kind of policies we have to get,
mm-hmm.
where we have to get it from, what is going to be approved or not is medical treatment that we're going to get.
Grace Marie, do you think that the Democrats have the ability to pass this if they want to?
Yes, they do.
Do you think they will? Do you think they'll pass it in a partisan vote?
They're still saying they will. That's what Nancy
yeah.
Pelosi says. That 4 out of 5 committees have already passed this legislation out of their committees and ready for a floor vote.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually going to come down to the conservative Democrats. And whether or not they want to come back to Washington in 2010,
right.
or whether or not they think it's more important to pass this legislation. One Democrat from New York State said that, you know, he's willing to vote against the best interests of his constituents if it means being able to get this legislation
wow.
through that they've been trying to do for 60 years. He's
right.
willing to give up his seat.
Not what Americans want, but what I want.
Yeah.
Hey, Grace Marie, give us the website again, please.
They should visit us at Galen, GALEN.org, and sign our petition at DoNoHarmPetition.org.
DoNoHarmPetition.org. Thanks, Grace Marie. Good work.
Thanks
for the hard work. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.